Rewind with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Two of the Lombardi line coming at you from coast to coast, as always. Michael Lombardi out at his office in Jersey. I'm Stormy Bonantoni, live from Circa Resort and Casino in downtown Las Vegas. This show, as always, presented by DraftKings. Got a great hour ahead coming up in about 30 minutes. We'll have DraftKings Network host and analyst Claudia Belafato get her thoughts on the NBA Finals as well as the Stanley Cup Final upon us. We got Lombardi's list breaking down the most valuable non-QBs in the NFL, and at the end of the hour, teams who missed the playoffs last season that are favored to make it this year. Do we agree or disagree? But Michael, first and foremost, it is mandatory minicamp continuing to roll on across the NFL. So I have a nice little attendance list here for marquee players who are on site or are not. So real quickly, just going to run through it real quick. Bengals star wide receiver Jamar Chase is at mandatory minicamp as he seeks a new contract. Tagged T. Higgins is not. Amari Cooper, an interesting one that we found out, is skipping Browns minicamp. Left tackle Tristan Wirfs for the Bucks is at minicamp. Matthew Judon for the Pats is also around. He says he's not giving up his money. And now here's the one that stands out to me the most. And I know it's so annoying when we always have to talk about the Jets, but they're in the headlines yet again today because they go out and have their most important offseason acquisition that is somebody who wants a contract. And Hassan Riddick is not there at minicamp. And apparently also Aaron Rodgers isn't on site, and it is an inexcused absence. So Robert Saleh was asked questions about it. He said that there is an event that's very important to him that Aaron Rodgers has elected to go to, but it is not excused. So he's going to be paying fines for this. Did it surprise you when you found out Rodgers was not going to be there today?
It really did. I mean, you know, look, he's your best player. You need him there. And you would think that on a Tuesday, June the 11th, like, there could be some way to rearrange it. You know, if he goes to Saleh and says, look, you know, I got something on June 11th I've got to be at, then let's just have camp 12 and the 13th. I'm not saying that Aaron should be the GM of the team, but they should work in concert to handle that. Or, you know, we'll have it Wednesday and Thursday. I think to me, it's really challenging to try to piece all this jet stuff together. It makes really no sense to me because it's hard to, you know, like, they've got so many, nobody talks from the front office. Riddick won't come in under contract. Joe Douglas makes the trade. Everybody in America knows that Riddick wanted a new contract. So did Riddick not tell his owner that? And is the owner not letting him? Like, it's just weird. Like, who is communicating with people in that building? Do they have computers there, Stormy, do you think? Do they have email?
I'm not sure if they're in the 21st century, Michael. I've been trying to figure that one out myself.
It makes no sense. Like, how do we not communicate? Look, I get sometimes, but when they call it an unexcused absence, then clearly Rodgers went to him and said, look, I have this thing. And Saleh must have said, well, you got to be here no matter what. I don't care what you have. Like, okay, well, can't we work this out? Like, I mean, isn't there, why would I want to be labeled unexcused? Are you trying to send a message to the team? It's not going to affect Riddick. Like, I've seen this happen where, you know, Brady says, hey, Bill, I'll be there for every day, except I have to be here for this. It's really important before the offseason starts, before everything. When you give me the calendar, I didn't know when this was. I need to be there. Okay, we'll work it out. We'll figure it out. But when you call it an unexcused absence, that means you couldn't work it out. Mm. Like, what are we doing?
And I'm sure when Rodgers does come back and he's on the podium, he'll explain it away and make it seem as if it's all sunshine and rainbows and it's fine. But to me, when I look at the New York Jets as a whole, I feel like it's just a very fragile house of cards, and that any wind blows in is going to risk tearing this entire thing down. And when you hear Robert Saleh up at the podium answering questions about Hassan Reddick and about Aaron Rodgers, he's deflecting constantly. Like, every question about the contract, despite him admitting that he finally did talk to Hassan Reddick, which was music to my ears, that he actually did talk to his new acquisition. And he's a defensive head coach. Like, let's keep that in mind as well. Haven't talked to him, really. But deflecting all of those questions to Joe Douglas. It's like we're back to pleading the fifth again. Is that going to be the whole press conference? Because I'm not getting anything out of this.
It makes no sense to me at all. Like, I don't understand it. Like, who is talking? Like, shouldn't we have somebody come out there and say, okay, here's what's going on. Here's what's happening. Here's what we're doing. Here's what I understand. Like, I don't get it. Like, why can't we figure this out? Why can't we have better communication? You know, and Salah go up there. He's the worst poker player in the history of the world. It's almost like he leads you down the end. He doesn't want to give you the answer, and you could tell he doesn't want to give you the answer. Like, he's not giving you the truth. You could feel it.
You can read him like a book, Michael. Tomorrow on the program,
you really can.
We'll have plenty of sound coming out of all of these press conferences and stuff. Maybe do a GM translator or news and noise, because there's lots of things that are coming through. But I do here want to do, like we always do, here in hour two, what's on Michael's mind. And I'm very interested in today's, because it surrounds a hot button topic that came through yesterday. So what do you have for the people?
Well, I think Will Hill hit the nail on the head. Like, I'm really kind of, I don't understand how you can, how this whole Danny Hurley thing came about. Like, he made it very clear he had no interest in Kentucky, right? Yeah. He made it very clear. And Shams was on, and it was Hurley, and it was, it, and he had it as Riddick, and, you know, the guy who used to be the head coach of the Carolina Hornets, James Borrego, I believe his name is. Borrego. Thank you, Stormy. Mm-hmm. Anyway, and so, okay, I get the Lakers want to have a marquee guy. But when the deal comes out, the first thing I look at, I say, 6 years, $70 million. Like, who are you getting on that deal? When Steve Kerr makes $17.5 a year. When Pop, now you could say, well, Kerr's won championships. Yeah, that's right. He has won championships. But you're not getting a guy to leave college for less than what the market is. Remember, Tua put it perfectly. The market is the market, right?
Yeah.
I mean, we just saw Spoelstra get $15 million. Like, you're not getting them for $11 million. I mean, Bud just got $10 million from Phoenix. So, like, that made no sense. Like, if you're going to get somebody to leave, so what Will Hill was saying is almost like, was this a created story that we're all reacting to? Because they kept the lid on it for so long, and I said this to you, that if you kept the lid on it for that long, couldn't you have waited a couple more days while he decided so you're not embarrassed? Mm-hmm. Like, well, I think it's more of a manufactured story than it was real. I never got the sense that from talking, he was going to leave from people that know him.
And so we had Matt Eumanns on the show yesterday, and he was on Follow the Money this morning as well. And he's talked a lot, a similar thought process of, okay, if this was really a thing, why was it so just mutually beneficial for so many parties here, right? Like Adrian Wojnarowski, who it appeared got scooped, quote unquote, by Shams with the Reddick. With the Reddick reveal a couple days earlier, then he comes in with the Hurley of it all, and obviously he has the relationship that he has with the family, Dan Hurley. So he's going to get pub for getting the scoop. Hurley is going to be in a situation with UConn where he's going to get a raise there. And I know that the spokespeople for Hurley are saying, oh no, this was already in the works beforehand, this wasn't a leverage move, it has nothing to do with that. But then the fact that, given what the contract offer was from the Lakers, his people never combated it to negotiate a higher number, saying, okay, can we wheel and deal to get to here? Like, that didn't take place. So I think you're dead on. I feel like this was just a situation where, hey, let's show that we're in this situation. The Lakers get to say that we tried. UConn gets to keep their guy, and Hurley gets a raise, and Woj looks great.
Yeah, exactly. It almost was like Charlie's Wilson War. It was almost like it was staged, right? That's what I feel. Did you ever see that movie, Charlie Wilson's War? It's like it was staged. Like, it made no sense. And, like, we're waiting for him to decide. And then everybody knew he wasn't going anywhere. And now the governor comes in. And, look, I get you can play. But it always makes you so cynical when it comes to media reports. Like, was it real? You know, and that's where I think the reason it's on my mind is because I think we as a betting network – and people that are giving out information, we have to be careful to sort through the data. Yeah. Like, what are we being told? Is it true? Is this guy really a good player that's changing the or is this just some agent pushing a narrative out there? You know, and that's what we have to do. And we have to constantly ask ourselves, you know, there's a new book out by a guy, I forget his name, who wrote it. His name, This Story May Contain Lies. Mm. And from reading this book, you have to be very diligent in understanding what is the object or the objective of the story. What's behind it all? And I think certainly during the week of NFL football, there's a lot of stories that are out there that may not or may not be true. Now, we often say, well, the sharps are moving the number, when in reality, it isn't. There's too many ghosts out there.
Well, and this report, too, of course, like the timing of when it comes out, the start of the NBA Finals, that is what ends up dominating the news cycle and the timeline there. And even at the time, I'll admit, like, I thought that, especially like with the Jim Harbaugh comparison of him leaving after winning a national championship, it was, you know, you think about the struggles that collegiate sports are having trying to shift into being a non-amateur sport anymore. I thought that a lot of things on the surface made sense to potentially go the professional route, especially considering he's been open and vocal about saying the NBA is a place that he would like to go, and that's a dream of his. But the Lakers, where things sit right now, were not the fit. And I understand that a ton as well. And I understand the comfort that he has. And maybe the NBA is the dream, but maybe it's the Boston Celtics or the New York Knicks that are the dream and not the Los Angeles Lakers, because he is an East Coast guy through and through. And he has an opportunity to do what only John Wooden has done in history and be a three-peat head coach in college basketball.
No question. And I think, to me, you have to be really careful, because the story, like I kept saying this all along, Stormy, if they had him, if they thought they were going to get him, that's why the story got released. But what benefit did it have for it to be released when he was still thinking about it? It makes the Lakers look bad.
No question about it. And I am very curious to see ultimately where they end up landing on their head coaching cycle.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
This Father's Day, give Dad a gift that's guaranteed to take him to his happy place. Omaha Steaks, packages starting at $99 when you go to omahasteaks.com and use the promo code VSiN at checkout to get $10 off your order. From grown-worthy dad jokes to patching up skin knees, your dad is one of a kind. Show your dad the love he deserves with a gift as unforgettable as he is. Visit omahasteaks.com and use our promo code VSIN at checkout. That's omahasteaks.com, promo code VSIN. Speaking of dad jokes, Michael, I'm giving you one a day, basically. Every time we're talking about Father's Day, I can't help myself. So here's a new one for the day.
I love it.
I didn't know that Sylvester Stallone was on his third marriage, did you?
Yes, I think I did.
You
yes.
Did? I didn't. I guess the first one was Rocky. The second one must have been Rocky II. I have
and
no
the
life.
The third one is Rocky III.
Yep, there we go. I have no life. I have
Where
no life.
Where are you
life.
Getting these from? This is good. I mean, this is excellent. I love it. I love it.
We'll see what we can do the rest of the week. Finishing the dad joke strong with Father's Day coming up on Sunday. Great stuff. Let's get into the NFL news of the day, though, Michael. It appears the league office has concluded their investigation into offseason tampering and will be docking the Atlanta Falcons a fifth-round pick in 2025. The probe found improper contact was made in an attempt to sign their new quarterback, Kirk Cousins, as well as the recruitment of Darnell Mooney and Charlie Werner prior to the start of the league year. Atlanta will also pay a fine of $250,000 with a separate violation fine $50,000 for GM Terry Fontenot. The Eagles, meanwhile, do not have any punishment for their recruitment of Saquon Barkley. So one team punished, one team not. But clearly, like, based on these outcomes overall, regardless, it feels like this is not the crime of the century in the league of the eyes. I mean, in the eyes of the league. Whoa, dyslexia. There we go.
Well, I mean, I'd like to know, is tampering something that you can almost do or not do? Either you're tampering or you're not, aren't you?
You would think.
Stormy?
Yeah, you would think.
I mean, either you tampered or you didn't. So, like, how do you get it? How do you find a team $1 million and take away a first-round draft pick for Deflategate when that wasn't proven to be true, and you turn around and admit they tampered, but we're only going to take a fifth-round pick from them? Like, how is this possible? Like, I told you it was a kangaroo court. I just didn't know it was that big of a kangaroo.
Well, you even looked to 2 years ago, too, with the Miami Dolphins getting docked the first round pick for their interactions with Tom Brady. They get the suspension with Stephen Ross, fine more than $1 million there as well. So I guess they feel like there are levels to this thing. But you tell me. So you know more about the background of what goes into an investigation. What are they looking for? And I guess what would determine the level in your mind?
Well, this is the second time Atlanta's gotten slapped on the wrist for a violation of something that was serious. You remember, go back, they were pumping music into their stadium, and they got slapped on the wrist for that. Kaiser Soze McKay was the team. It's the same thing. Kaiser Soze McKay's locked into the league office. This is just, hey, we're good with the league office. We'll do whatever you want. And there it goes. Like, I don't know how Miami's not screaming about this. I don't know how New England's not. I'm screaming. I don't know how New England's not screaming. Like, this is ridiculous. You either tampered or you didn't. Okay, they say the Eagles didn't tamper with Barkley. I'm not going to argue with that at all. I'm not arguing with that at all. I can't prove it. Everybody tampers. I get it. But if you have evidence that there is something that tampered, how in the hell can you tell me you're going to overlook it, that it's just, well, it's a fifth round. It was a slight tamper. What is slight tampering?
Well, and I struggle with this whole concept just in general, Michael. The phrase legal tampering to begin with, and the fact that as we're leading up to the day that free agency officially opens, that these complicated deals are just all of a sudden signed, sealed, delivered within an hour or two of the window opening. Like, I just don't understand it in general.
Of the legal tampering window, right? Yep. So the legal tampering window opens up, and they were able to get all this done within 2 hours of the legal tampering, okay? They didn't wait till the league off. If I said this on the podcast, Stormy, if I would have been the GM of Atlanta, not Super Bowl winning Terry Fontenot GM, but if I would have been like, let's just wait till Thursday of this week. Let's wait 3 days before we turn this bad boy in. Let's work through this. I mean, we know we're going to get him signed. Who else is our competition? We're going to pay him like crazy. Like, let's just work through it. But they did it within an hour and a half. And you're telling me that Kirk knew exactly what the offense was going to run, knew the system that's going to be happening, knew everything that was going to go on, knew the structure, knew the payout, knew when the checks were going to clear. All this was going to happen in an hour and a half? I mean, come on. Look, I don't mind tampering. I'm not naive. Everybody does it. However, don't say you tampered but it's just a slight tamper.
Also, because we talk about the Eagles not getting penalized here for the Saquon Barkley of it all, but were they just barking up the wrong tree and looking at the wrong player in this? Because we've talked about it on this show, because you knew Bryce Huff was going to the Eagles. So I don't know how that's not the area that you're looking at.
I don't know either. Like, I knew it. If I knew it, and I knew Barkley was, I mean, James Caldwell knew Barkley was going there, but I don't really mind it. Like, to me, it's the Jets' stupidity to let Huff go there without doing something about it. Everybody knew it. They could have done something about it. So I don't blame them. They're just stupid, right? I mean, I can't blame them. But the reality of it is this one here, you just can't part-time tamper.
So let's keep it down. I mean, while we're on Bryce Huff, we might as well go to the Jets here as we start to go down the line of more mandatory minicamp burning questions. We'll get a handful of them here. We'll finish however many teams we don't get to later on in the show. But let's start with the Jets, because I'm not going to ask you about health this time for the Jets. That's not my burning question. I'm not going to ask you about health and if they stay healthy. Yes. But can the Jets, in your opinion, overcome what has been an off-field circus, even if they stay healthy, even if everything is to go right in terms of the talent that they have acquired and brought in? Can they overcome what has been a crazy head coaching situation? People who continue to shine the light on the organization in a negative way, saying all we want this to be about is football, but then constantly having non-football conversations. Can they overcome that to have a winning season and make the playoffs?
Well, I think this, the answer is no, because what we're seeing in everything that's auxiliary is an absence of leadership. And don't think because there's an absence of leadership in this area, there's not an absence of leadership in the football area. There is. And that absence of leadership is going to cost them. See, you keep asking the right question to everybody who comes on our show. What constitutes success for the Jets? You have a 41-year-old quarterback. Is making the wild card success? I mean, you're right. So he's 42. We hope to get the divisional game. And when he's 50, we'll win the Super Bowl. There's only two franchises in the last 10 years that haven't gone to the playoffs. The Broncos and the Jets. Think about that for a minute. The Panthers have. Think about that for a minute. Talking about 10 years ago, right? Think about that. The Jets haven't even gone.
Yeah, there are a lot of takes, Michael, that I would love to be wrong about, right? Like at the end of this season, I hope that the Jets are able to pull this thing together. I would love to see all that talent on display and things clicking and things working and Robert Saleh to be the head coach that I thought he was going to be when he was initially hired. I would love to be wrong about this. I just don't think I'm going to be. Let's stick in New York because there's another team that I have a gripe with. My burning question for them is, of course, going to be around their quarterback who they're paying a ton of money for. Will Daniel Jones live up to his contract this year? Because it's going to be critical for him and this New York Giants franchise.
The answer is no. I mean, he's never done it. He doesn't, like I wrote about today, he doesn't even deserve this contract. He's the only quarterback in NFL history who has a $100 million contract and has never thrown for 3,500 yards or passed for 25 touchdowns or more. It's the only one. Like, he's brought nothing to the table to deserve this other than John Mara drafted him. I mean, that's it. That's it. And here's the part that's worrisome. He has to run to be more effective. And as he runs, is he going to get hurt? That's going to be a real issue, Stormy.
No doubt about it. You referenced it yesterday. The season that I said was his good season that got him paid, which you said, hey, let's clarify, average at best. I'm with you. He had 708 yards and 7 touchdowns on the ground that year. So for me, I think one, that's more rushing touchdowns than he's had the other 4 years of his career combined. But then two, how much should we really anticipate that being who we see on Sundays, given the ACL that he is coming off of, the multiple neck injuries that he's had? I don't think that that's a style of game that he's going to want to play or maybe physically be able to play.
No question. And that's the issue, right? That's the big issue, is how is this all going to work out? How can he be the best version of himself if he can't run?
Plus, are we sold the offensive line's going to be much better? Because they've been trying to rebuild it for a decade, and every time that we get our hopes up about it, it just ends up crashing and burning yet again. I just call them the quarterback killers at this point. So we shall see. Please don't clip that, though. Giants fans, don't be mad at me. I know that I'm rubbing you the wrong way.
DraftKings.
Former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here's your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
We here at VSiN want to help you out. Start betting smarter with a VSiN Pro subscription. Right now, you can upgrade to our Pro annual subscription for just $199, which is down from our regular price of $240. Plus, we're throwing in an extra month absolutely free when you use our promo code Lombardi. With a VSiN Pro subscription, you'll get exclusive access to premium analysis, expert picks, and advanced betting tools that'll give you an upper hand all year long. And here's the big news. Our NFL betting guide is coming out later this month, 2 weeks from tomorrow. This guide is your ultimate resource for the entire football season, packed with detailed team, division, conference analysis and breakdowns, and of course, best bets for the year. Don't miss out on this limited time deal. Head to vsin.com/subscribe now. Use that promo code Lombardi to claim your discount and bonus month. Again, that's vsin.com/subscribe, promo code Lombardi. All right, it is time for another edition of GM Translator, because as the NFL's mandatory mini camps roll on, we had 22 of them this week. Lots of players and coaches are stepping up to the podium and we're trying to make sense of it all. So we're going to have Michael put back his GM hat on and make sense of some of these sound bites, starting with Joe Burrow, who was talking about some of the challenges coming back from his wrist injury. Take a listen.
You know, whenever the injuries start to stack up, it's your football mortality kind of comes into the back of your mind. So that's definitely something that I've thought about and something that I've had to fight through. It's always a challenge. It always is. But you know, I'm built for it. Our team is built for it. And the people that I have surrounded myself with have been through it with me as well. So I'm excited about the season. I'm excited about what we're going to do. And I'm excited about all the guys we have in the locker room.
All right, Michael, where does that leave you?
Well, it leaves me that, you know, these injuries are starting to bother him. And he feels like his career is closer toward the end than it is the beginning, even though he's so young. I think that's got to concern you. You know, when you miss games and you miss time 2 years in a row to start a season and you haven't played well, I think it kind of spooks you. And I think his inability to play well early in the year because of the injury, remember, he wasn't throwing it very good. You know, it kind of came to life against Arizona in the second half. But I think this has kind of got him. And I think one of the things you realize as a player, executive, your moments or windows are small. And I got the sense listening to that, this is, he feels like his window is not as big as we all might think it is, that he needs to win quickly.
And, you know, listening to his head coach, Zach Taylor, listening to Jamar Chase, a lot of the sound bites that have come from them talking about Joe Burrow this year is, hey, man, take it slow here in the offseason as we're getting ramped up for the year because we need you in those most important games down the stretch. Obviously, last year he had the preseason injury, which caused for a slow start at the beginning of the year, and then the injury to the wrist that ended his season. The Bengals are the second shortest shot in the division. The Ravens, the favorite. They are sitting there at plus 145. They're also tied for the fifth shortest shot to win a Super Bowl this year at 13-1. So the expectations with the healthy Burrow are that they'll be a contender this season. A team that would like to be a contender but has just proven to be a pretender year after year is the old Dallas Cowboys. And Dak Prescott was asked about the urgency of him entering a contract year. Take a listen.
This is the urgency you should always have, to be honest. So maybe guys who normally wouldn't feel it. So I don't mind it. Been in this position before. I'm a gambling man. We'll gamble on myself and my guys. So, not actually, guys. I understand. I understand. There's been a lot of shit with that. So. Not that way. Just a lot. So, yeah, that being said, yeah, there you go.
In 2024, Michael, that is an important distinction. But what do you think of what Dak had to say there?
Well, I mean, one thing about Dak, Dak is getting to the point where he's becoming the new Kirk Cousins. Like, it's about all, I know he says it's not about my contract, but it's about his contract. Other than Deshaun Watson, he eats up most of the cap. And he's talking about, well, I'll worry about that. You know, I'm a gambler. What are you gambling? You're one of the highest paid players in the league that's never won a playoff game. I mean, seriously, what are we gambling here? You know, he knows someone's going to pay him. There is no gamble. Either Jerry's going to pay him or some team like Atlanta will pay him or, you know, another team that needs a quarterback. So I when I listened to that, I just shook my head and said, at some point, when do you talk about winning? When do you talk about winning a conference championship? When do you talk about getting to the Super Bowl? On the day of Jerry West's death, you know, all we can think about is all the personal awards that West has won and how many and how he just couldn't beat the Celtics. And it drove him insane. He was emotional about it. Every offseason was this pit in his stomach because even though he played well and he was the best player. I mean, there was a time where John Havlicek went up to him and told him what a great player he was. But, you know, he didn't want to hear it because they lost. Like, I want that from Dak. I don't want that. I'm a gambling man. Gambling what? How about winning a Super Bowl?
To be fair, I did like his comments a few weeks back when the Mavericks obviously were in the conference finals. The Dallas Stars were in the conference finals. The Texas Rangers are coming off a World Series win. And he said, I like that does put more pressure on us to go out there and win it all. It makes you that much more hungry. But with this, yeah, he's betting on himself personally that he's going to get paid at the end of next year in a big way, regardless of what happens with the contract this year. So, you know, that's the personal side of it. And if he does become a free agent, he will secure that, you imagine. Okay, let's move along here. Another quarterback, though, one who has shifted teams. I cannot wait for you to hear Russell Wilson, who is vibing. He is glowing in his new aura in Pittsburgh.
I feel the fountain of youth, man. I feel revived in every way, mentally, emotionally, spiritually. I feel confident. I think at some point you got to know who you are, as a player, as a man, as a competitor, as somebody who's been fortunate to be able to play in this game. And I don't doubt it, I just don't trust it. I felt really good last year playing, I felt really confident in the midst of everything. And so I think right now I have all that confidence times 10.
We always got to try to see through what Russell Wilson is saying. So give me the GM translation.
I don't have one. I mean, what's he talking about? He just got paid a boatload of money by Denver. He didn't have any of that when he arrived in Denver. Like, what are we talking? Does he not think we record this stuff or remember it? 2 years ago, he got traded for a boatload of picks. He got paid a king's ransom. He wasn't happy then. I mean, I don't know. Like, all of a sudden, you get cut and someone else is paying all your money, and now you found the fountain of youth and utopia. I mean, it's a crock of crap. It really is. Like, stop it. Don't insult me. Like, stop, okay? Just go play good. Don't tell me how everything's perfect. Don't paint the house. Just go win. Just go win a game. Like, at some point, what does somebody say, Russ, enough is enough. This isn't an act. I mean, seriously. Like, what? He got, how much more money could he have gotten? I mean, based on his play in Denver, they got guys sitting in jail that did more. You know what I mean? Like, he robbed them for a lot of money. Their own fault. Trust me, their own fault. He deserved it. He got it. I'm not complaining. But don't give me this crap while I feel rejuvenated. I'm energized. How aren't you? You got one coach fired. You got another coach coming in who won a Super Bowl. You said the same thing when he came in. Come on.
Revived in every way.
Piss me off,
mentally,
Stormy.
Emotionally, spiritually. I was just waiting for a Steelers country. Let's ride. Okay, let's move on to one more here. Yeah. Indianapolis Colts young quarterback Anthony Richardson. The headline from him the past couple days was that he thinks playing in the NFL is easier than college. But the full soundbite is what you need to hear for context. Here's Anthony.
See, playing in the NFL, I feel like it's easier than college.
Mm.
For real, because like, in college, you got players that's like, they good. They know they good, but they're not as confident. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. They got to rely on other players to do this for them to do that. Mm-hmm. But in the league, everybody trying to work to stay in the league. You know what I'm saying? Trying to keep their job. Everybody trying to ball out.
For sure.
So that just let me know I ain't got to do too much. I just got to do my job.
Hell yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And he going to do his job. It's going to work.
If you're a Colts fan, do you like hearing that, or what are your thoughts?
Well, I think he's right. Everybody's accountable, and you got to get confident. And he's got to blend that confidence into the team based on the way he plays. Everybody's confidence goes up when the best player on the team plays well. Then you don't think you're beatable. When you get in that huddle with Patrick Mahomes, you don't think that team's confident, even though their two tackles might not be able to block anybody? There's a sense that confidence is spread. And you know, you've got to be able to do that. And I think everybody has a job to do. And they've got to be able to work to stay in the league, like he said, and keep their job. You got to play. Everybody's accountable for their performance. There's no days off here. You got to work.
I absolutely understand the rationale behind the comments. But, dude, you only played 4 games in the league. Like, let's relax here. Just take a second before you say that this is easier. I feel a lot better. I'm that much more confident. Like, let's get a season out of you first. No?
No question. No question. But, look, that's not the world we live in. Everybody's an expert without experience.
True that. As it pertains to the AFC South, the Houston Texans are an even money favorite. Jacksonville plus 275. And there are those Indianapolis Colts sitting plus 310.
Former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
We're this close to crowning an NBA champ, and with the action heating up on the court, it's even hotter at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use the code VSIN, that's V-S-I-N, for new customers to get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Only on DraftKings Sportsbook, the crown is yours. We'll be right back.
my favorite time of the day. Who likes storms more than I do? Usually you run inside, get your umbrella. No, no, no. Stay right where you are. We've got you covered. Storm warning time on Thursday. All right, let's start this off with mythology. I wrote a little bit about that. These lines that kind of gravitate, that stick as if they become fact, not really guess. So I love this. Must win, Stormy, is a storm warning because it doesn't mean they will. Tell us.
Exactly. Must win does not mean a team will win a game. And I feel like we're in these situations all the time where, oh, their backs are against the wall. I know it's not a win or go home yet, technically, if they don't win this game. But if they don't win this game, the series is lost, right? Sometimes the series is lost anyways, as evidenced by the Dallas Mavericks last night. As we talked about, they had a golden opportunity at home with the crowd behind them, a missed opportunity with Kyrie Irving's 35-point performance, no Kristaps Porzingis. Even when you make that run in the fourth quarter, still never really felt like you were going to be able to have that clutch performance that you've had all throughout the regular season. Like, this was the top clutch performing team in the regular season in the NBA this year, but Boston even beat them at their own game in that area. They've been tremendous. So as I look to tonight, game three for the Edmonton Oilers, I look at this. And as I mentioned with Mike Palm last segment, I haven't made a bet yet on this game today, but everything tells me I want to bet the Oilers in a must win. They're going to have a raucous, deafening crowd behind them tonight. They actually don't have any travel issues. They left right after the game in game two. They're resetting. They're refocused. As I go through the situations, though, I'm looking at what they've done throughout the course of this postseason. They've also dropped an early round game every game this series at home. And interestingly enough, through Florida's postseason, the Panthers have coincidentally won their first road game in every set, outscoring the Lightning, Bruins, and Rangers those three games 14-5. Everything is telling me this is a bounce back spot for the Oilers, but just because it's a must win doesn't mean they will. And I feel like I'm more than likely just going to end up live betting this game and seeing how things get started, because I have no faith that Edmonton is going to step up and get over the hump against Sergei Bobrovsky tonight.
You know, I couldn't agree more. And I think you have to take the mindset as what would have to be different for the team to win the game. Just because you moved courts or move ice doesn't mean they're going to win. Like, they're going to have to play a different way. I think Dallas found that out. I mean, Dallas is not going to beat Boston. They're just not. They can't find a way to play. They can't shoot well enough. And so must, for all the must wins, yeah, it ain't going to happen. All right, let's focus on the UFL. The Birmingham Stallions are headed to San Antonio for the champ. Well, no, they're headed to St. Louis for the championship game in the St. Louis Dome, their America Center. It'll be on Fox this weekend. Give us some props. Give us some warnings, at least on some of these UFL props.
So unfortunately, the props aren't out yet. But what my warning is I want people to be aware of the massive opportunity for profitability in prop markets in the UFL. Because, I mean, I don't think this is anything mind-blowing for folks at home. Sportsbooks aren't paying a whole lot of attention here, right? When it comes to this spring football league and the numbers that they're posting. A couple weeks ago, there was a starting running back who was widely reported as out. It was on the official injury report. His backup that game prior had like 25 yards and a touchdown. The prop set for him as RB1 that following week was only 35 yards. Like, jump on that, because they're just looking at the cumulative stats throughout the season, what he did last week, without paying attention to these injury reports, without paying attention to the insiders and reporters. Same thing with AJ McCarron when he injured his ankle earlier this season. The St. Louis Battlehawks that week were a 7.5-point favorite. Everyone knew, at least that follows the UFL, that AJ McCarron wasn't playing that game, but the sports books weren't paying attention to it until the public dove into the market game day morning and made a 4-point swing on the line. So there's a ton of advantages betting the UFL. This is the last weekend with the championship coming up this week. Specifically, if you take a little extra time to dive into the prop market, massive opportunity to make money. I mean, knock on wood, not lost a prop bet all season long with the best bets that I posted at VSiN.com. We're on an 8-1 run so far with our best picks. Let's see if we can keep it rolling in the final week.
I love it. I love it. Last week you were hot. I mean, I don't doubt it. All right. As teams are wrapping up minicamp for their summer breaks, we're getting a better idea about which rookie quarterbacks will start, which ones potentially are not going to. But you have a warning, a severe weather warning for teams putting guys out there before they're ready?
Yeah, the rookie quarterback dilemma is a real thing. And in recent history, how often have we repeated that more young quarterbacks are ruined than developed? And the reports last week about Drake May's tremendous development and the improvements he's making got me thinking about how New England plans to handle May this season. And they're saying all the right things, right, Michael? They don't want to rush him. We're going to take our time. He's got a lot to work on. But how about when week 9 comes up, you've got one win and the fans are calling for your number 3 overall pick. I want them to remember the things they are saying here in May and June, because for every CJ Stroud, there's a Zach Wilson. Zach Wilson started week 4 for the Jets his rookie season. Don't you think if you had a do-over, you might sit him for a while? Sam Darnold, even a guy like Jameis Winston, don't you think that he would have benefited, learned a little bit more maturity if he sat for a little bit, maybe a little more discipline at the position? I don't know. CBS Sports did a write-up last offseason going through quarterbacks between 2000 and 2019. So I've got a lot of numbers here if you want to throw that graphic back up so that I can read them here. There were 91 quarterbacks that entered the league and became a team's full-time starter, so averaging 4.5 per year. Of those 91, 29 of them started week 1 their rookie season. 21 took over the first 8 games. 14 started the back half of their rookie year. So that's 64 of the 91 passers who became the full-time starter during their initial season. Of the remaining 27 players, 16 took the job at some point year 2, 3 in year 3, and 8 had to wait until year 4 of their career or later. And in almost every category, Michael, completion percentage, yards per attempt, touchdown percentage, interception percentage, QBR, the list goes on. Quarterbacks who waited until year 2 or beyond have outperformed their rookie counterpoints. Among the players on that list, you'll recognize a lot of them. Patrick Mahomes, probably the most notable. Oh, how about Tom Brady? Aaron Rodgers, Carson Palmer, Tony Romo, Philip Rivers, Drew Brees, Kirk Cousins. Like, all guys that have sat when they entered the league. And this is part of why I think people are so infatuated with a guy like Jordan Love, who has sat and now is getting his opportunity. I also found it interesting, by the way, just like sidebar, that players who were day one starters ultimately had more success than the players their rookie season who entered midway through the season. So we're talking the Joe Burrows, Cam Newton, Russell Wilsons versus guys who picked up week 4, week 5, week 6. If you have the expectation coming out of camp that you're going to be the starting quarterback and we're building around you, those players have had more success than the players who are thrust in after an offense is already built around someone else. But all of this to say, I get that there is a desire for as fans to see these young, talented quarterbacks, the star power that we think is going to be the savior of our franchise. I get we want to see them on the field, but sometimes that's not in the best interest of the player. It's not in the best interest of your franchise in the long haul.
No question. Keep preaching. All right, let's go. We talk a lot about Daniel Jones. I know I do, but I want to hear your take on I want to hear what you think of the Daniel Jones so-called franchise quarterback.
He's not the guy. The joke here is I'm not the president. I'm the president of the Daniel Jones Haters Club. I said this when he got paid instead of Saquon Barkley last offseason. And Michael, you hit me with the stats yesterday, right? The number of wins he has against teams that went to the playoffs. He's 6-21. The only quarterback, as you referenced, to receive a contract in excess of $100 million despite not having a season of 3,500 yards or 25-plus touchdowns. Everyone's coming for the Carolina Panthers and the Patriots as the worst teams in the NFL, but the Giants are right there. Their win total is only as high as 6.5 because their schedule on paper looks like it should be easy. In the 6 games Jones started this past season, he was 1-5 with 2 touchdowns, 6 interceptions. The Giants averaged 11.3 points per game. The offense failed to score a first-half touchdown in any of those games. A Jason Pinnock pick 6 against Miami was the most first half points that they scored, and it wasn't like that's absurd to me that the defense scored more points than Daniel Jones in a first half of a game when he started every game last season. With him off of the field, New York averaged a near touchdown more than when he was on it, which is not the case you want for the guy that you just paid. Another thing I remembered this morning going through some notes from the season, Tommy DeVito last year did something that Jones hasn't done since December of his rookie season in 2019, throw 3 touchdowns in a game. Wouldn't you think in the 48 starts since that December game, there would be one game that you threw more than 2 touchdowns? Apparently not. I think the Rich Eisen report around the draft of the Giants having buyer's remorse is 100% true. They should. And again, as I mentioned earlier, save this tape. If I'm wrong and he's unbelievable this year, he has 4,000 yards passing, 500 on the ground, I'm happy to eat my words. It ain't happening. He's not the guy, Michael.
I love it.